Hi, thanks for coming today. I'm Joel Weinberger. I'm from UC Berkeley, and I'm going to present to you client-side HTML security policies. And this is a talk, a little bit of synthesis, a little bit of a study, and a little bit of a position paper. So you get a little bit of everything in this talk today. This is a joint work with Adam Barth of Google and my advisor at Berkeley, Don Song. So let's start by taking a look at something that many of you have probably seen maybe 2 or 3 years ago, a MySpace page. And this is just a profile page, nothing too special here, just some information about the person. Until you look a little bit more closely, you see this little highlight here, and it's a little hard to read, but it says, "But most of all, Sammy is my hero." Right? A little bit of a weird thing to say on your profile page. And it turns out this is an instance of the famous Sammy worm from, I think, about 2005. Where basically this hacker was able to, he found an exploit on MySpace where he put some code, he was able to inject some code onto a MySpace page, and then any person who visited that page then executed that code and posted on their own page that Sammy was their hero, right? And this turns out to be a fairly benign attack, but Sammy actually ended up in prison for quite some time, so clearly we take it pretty seriously. And this is really an instance of something that many of you probably heard of before, something called content injection. Right, and more specifically, in this case, we're talking about cross-site scripting, which is sort of a very particular form of content injection. But generally speaking, content injection is the insertion of untrusted data, structure, or code into an application, and specifically in a way that the developer did not intend. So in this case, Sammy was able to inject onto a page some code that would execute that he wrote and that MySpace didn't place there, such that it would then post on that on a person who visited it. Sorry. It would post on the page of a person who visited the page that their hero was Sammy, right? So this is bad. In this case, not too bad, but bad, right? So here's what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about some key points. Specifically, that I'm going to talk about the notion of explicit policies versus implicit policies for data that appears on web pages. And I assert that this is a really unique and compelling point, and this is not a particular, and sorry, this data space, or this design space is not particularly a contribution by us. We're in fact going to talk about several other systems, but we're going to sort of unify them and talk about how they're similar. And we think this is a really compelling design space for designing security systems for the web. We're going to talk about some of these trade-offs, and I really want to sort of get across to you that none of the current systems are completely viable, but they all have some really great properties. And we really want to sort of talk about what these properties are and also what some of the downsides are. And in fact, we sort of look at one particular system, content security policy in particular, and we do a study on that to understand it in a little bit more depth. And finally, I'm going to assert to you today, and my position is that explicit policies are the way forward, that this is the sort of the systems we should be looking at for adding security to our web pages, but we need new system designs, and maybe we need to do something with combining some of these different systems and some of these different ideas. So these are sort of the key points I want to get across today, and I hope to convince you of, and by all means, let me know if I don't. So let's just, you know, from a high level, some of you may not be understand how content injection might work in the web. So let's just do a simple example. This is some HTML. Maybe it's from some website that's a forum, and this is a forum post. And the part in red is what the user posts to that website. So in this case, it's just some text, right? Harmless enough. And we want the user to be able to post whatever text they want, right? But imagine the user were to post something slightly different, right? Imagine they were to post this thing in red. In this case, it's still sort of benign, right? It's just displaying to the user their cookie, right, which within itself isn't really an exploit, but you can imagine something more malicious being done where the cookie is being sent to the attacker. Clearly, we don't want this to happen. And so really what we're saying is we want some system by which we specify all the stuff that was written by a developer, and we want to specify that all of that stuff is trusted, but that somehow the content that's being posted in the middle, that's something from a user, and we need to do something with that content. You know, in this case, we probably don't want scripts to execute in that content, you know, whatever. We need some sort of policy about that content. So there are many different ways to do that. One of the more common ones now these days is to take advantage of web application frameworks, which are simply enough systems that help you developers write web applications and provide lots of tools. You may have heard of a bunch of common ones of these, like Django or Ruby on Rails. The list can go on forever. And in particular, these web frameworks generally provide tools for doing sanitization, where you say, as the developer, in this part of the program, there will be untrusted content, and we need to remove untrusted content from this. The key point here is that this is happening on the server, not the client. So it's happening in a place where the developer needs to assume certain semantics of program behavior on the client and needs to assume that when they do certain actions on the server, that's going to then further affect the semantics on the client in a certain way. It turned out this is a really, really hard problem. And it's really hard to get frameworks that do this really well and really consistently and then get developers to use them in the correct way. And I'm not really going to go into details of that today because, as I say here, I'm going to shamelessly promote a paper I have coming up at ESORIX 2011 where we go into all the nitty-gritty details of the problems with how web frameworks do this today, why sanitization is hard, excuse me, and also how, you know, if you're going to be doing sanitization, how to do it better. So for now, take my word that sanitization is a pretty hard problem. And really what they're doing in sanitization is this concept that I like to call implicit policies. Well, what you're doing is you're taking your web application, and on the server, you're embedding a policy into it by sanitizing out what you think is bad content, right? And this just goes to the browser. It's all one big unit. The browser just sees the final output of the application, right? So you can see from this design that there's sort of a natural alternative, which I call explicit policies, where the web application is sent to the browser, and perhaps a sanitization has already been applied to it. That's fine. But then separately, an explicit policy is also sent to the browser that is completely separate from the web application. You know, maybe it's just a separate network packet. Maybe it's just has a totally different channel of communication. But the real key is that it's a different channel of communication. And again, this is not a particularly new idea. You know, it's very common in security that we like to keep policy separate from the data being transmitted and keep it into a separate field. And so it turns out we have a bunch of systems already that do that. So I hope by now maybe I've at least asserted, and maybe you're starting to believe that these explicit policies are different from traditional sanitization, and that these are sort of unique, and because of our general security principles that we like different channels of communication, maybe these are a good idea. So let's talk about how some of these work today. So there are many different explicit policy systems. Most of them are research-based, but I'm going to sort of focus today on three that are sort of three of the most discussed. I'm not saying these are the most important. These are just three very common ones, particularly BEEP, Blueprint, and Content Security Policy, also known as CSP. So BEEP is a pretty simple idea, but a really clever idea, which it says, in the case of cross-site scripting, what you really care about is you don't want scripts to be executed on the client which were not approved of by the developer, right? So how can we stop this? Well, we'll just send a list of approved scripts to the client, separate from the application, and then the client will enforce that every script that's executed is on this white list of scripts. And so, in fact, BEEP sends hashes of scripts, because, of course, that's a simpler thing to do, which gives great performance, because we're very good at hashing things, right? So that turns out performance is great, and it's not too hard. And so this is a really simple idea. It turns out it's sort of reasonably easy to implement and to stick into browsers, and you get this nice separation. But of course, maybe you have this intuition, dynamically generated scripts are really hard. So basically, if you have a web application, and at any point you're dynamically creating, dynamically inserting information into a script, and this turns out to be a fairly common activity, it gets to be really hard to understand how you could do this in the context of BEEP. Because if you're inserting something into that script and then you then hash the scripts on the way off the wire, well, what if the thing you inserted into the script was user data? Well, you don't want to hash that. So then you come back to the original problem. So unfortunately, BEEP does have this problem with dynamic scripts. And additionally, and this is less of a big deal from my perspective, it also doesn't really handle anything other than cross-site scripting, although you could imagine changing that where you provide hashes for things other than scripts. So another really important project that came around is Blueprint. And this has been a really important piece of work in the literature for the last couple of years. And basically the idea here is the server provides to the client a structural description of the page which is enforced by a JavaScript library. And this is great because you can really give extremely fine-grained details of the behavior of the page. Unfortunately, because you're doing this in a JavaScript library and you're doing all this parsing on the client, the performance can be very poor. And on the other side, at the same time, the granularity can be a problem too, right? This means you have to write a very detailed description and understand in great depth what your application is doing. So, we have more details about this in the paper, but there's still a couple of issues with Blueprint as well. And so the last of the three I want to talk about is Content Security Policy, CSP, which is enormously important because it's actually being deployed right now in Mozilla Firefox and is being developed as well in the Chrome web browser. And basically, Content Security Policy says at a very high level that you should be able to specify the behaviors on a page and sort of generic behaviors. And this is passed along as a header before your page. And it says things like, all scripts that can be run should, all external scripts on your page should only be accessed from the following server, or all your images should only be accessed from the following server. But the really important properties is that you can also specify that you cannot run eval in JavaScript, which is a sort of nasty construct if you've used JavaScript a lot, but more importantly, that you cannot have any inline scripts at all on your page. And this solves the cross-site scripting problem in some sense, because now if your scripts can only come from external sources, from external servers, but you specify what servers they can come from, and the bad guys don't control those servers, and additionally you don't allow any scripts to be executed on the page itself, bad guys have no way of getting their content onto your page unless they're able to somehow get onto your server and place scripts in some other file and yada yada, and we're assuming that's sort of outside of our threat model. Unfortunately, the performance of this for actually enforcing it is great, right? This is pretty easy for the browser to enforce. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a real evaluation of how this actually affects how it's applied to real web applications. So there have been web applications that have been rewritten from scratch or written from scratch to use it, and people are able to do that, so that's great. But one of the great things is that you can just sort of apply these policies to your page. So we actually set out to measure what the effect of using CSP on your page actually does. And so we want to know what effects does it actually have if you're retrofitting your application to CSP. What does it actually do in terms of performance, but also in terms of how you have to rewrite your application. And so we applied this to both to Bugzilla and to HotCRP, which are a bug tracking software and a conference managing software. And we measured the performance and also how much it changes. And I'm going to sort of allot some of these details and leave them to for you to look in the paper. But the grand summary is that it turns out there's some very high cost to doing this. This model of excluding your scripts and putting them onto other pages really can have some problems with how you develop web applications today. So these were, keep in mind, applications that were already written. So they're written in a very specific style. So they were not a style that was written for CSP. And I don't, I'm not trying to argue that we did the canonical transformation of these applications. We sort of sat down as developers and said, how will we go about doing this transformation? And we did many iterations to try to improve performance and things like that. But it has a bunch of consequences to what you can actually do in the application. And so I'm not going to go into the details, but it really affects the types of things you can do in a framework and how you can use things, such as you cannot use template variables in your scripts anymore. And you need to start doing a lot more lookups of data through JavaScript. So we did measure performance, which is the time, the percent difference in time from the network request to the point of the onload event in the web browser being done, and we normalized for a sort of a constant network latency, and we saw some really dramatic decreases in performance. And basically, in our first iteration, there's no inline JavaScript. We saw in Bugzilla 6 to 50% changes in performance, and in HotCRP 23 to 60% or so. And then we were able to do some minor tweaks. That's with this asynchronous JavaScript. I'm not going to explain that right now. You can check it out in the paper. And we were able to see some improved performance over our no inline JavaScript implementation, but still some pretty dramatic decreases. Similarly, this required a pretty dramatic increase in the amount of code you had to write as well to get these to work. So basically, there's a lot of trade-offs in how we use these systems today. And it really affects how, and none of these systems are really perfect. But they have some great properties. So really, what we're saying is that they provide some great separation of policy from application. That's really great from a security perspective, so it turns out to make the actual applications of policies easier than the sanitization case. And it's simple or complex. You can choose like BEEP or CSP is a really simple way of just applying a quick policy, or you can do a really detailed policy with Blueprint, which is really awesome. But at the moment, we don't have a system where you get both performance and developer usability all in the same package. And so it's really a sort of a shame. And so what we really want to know is we really feel pretty strongly that these explicit policy systems should be the way forward, that they really are great systems, and they really provide a lot of power, and they really simplify the situation from sanitization. And CSP in particular has some awesome properties, but we sort of show for the first time that it does have some effects on how you actually, practically speaking, write applications, especially in the context of retrofitting applications. So we want to know, how can we combine these features? So one thing we've talked about is, what if you were to combine, for example, Beep and CSP, and you were to have hashes of scripts, so you could have static inline scripts. Maybe that would make your life a little bit easier. And we just think there's got to be a place where you can combine a lot of these different things together. And so, just at that last key point, we think that explicit policies are the way forward, but we need to talk more about how to design systems, and I think that the community really needs to start talking as a group and really measuring or discussing a lot of the trade-offs and benefits, and maybe thinking about a new system that has something to do with CSP and some of these other systems that we can build for the future. So, thanks a lot.